Good morning.
Good morning. Again.
Over the last few weeks, actually a few months, Adam has been speaking on metaphors of the church, yes? You guys are down with that. You've heard these messages. The church has been likened to many, many things over the last couple months. And part of that, one of those, was a student. He likened the church as to students. That was just a few weeks ago. One of the other metaphors that we can utilize for the church is that of subjects of a king. Now, I don't know that Adam has gone over that particular metaphor for the church, and I'm not specifically going to be doing metaphors of the church today. However, I will be utilizing a discipline that will apply to two metaphors of the church, which is the student and a subject of a king. The discipline that I'm talking about applies to a bunch of different metaphors, but those two are the primaries. Now, this subject is going to be joyful to some of you, and some of you, it will be difficult. It may be difficult to hear. I'm speaking on tithing. As everybody goes, no, not the pocketbook. Literally tithing 10%. All right? One-tenth. So, let's cover first things first. This church is really, really good at gifts and offerings. I will tell you that right now. I've watched this church for 28 years, and this church is probably one of the biggest gifts and offerings churches I've ever seen, especially for a group this size. It is absolutely amazing. The four people that are down in Australia, you guys went from $700 to $7,000 in a week. That is unheard of, especially, again, in a church this size. Gifts and offerings are very easy for us. Gifts are something we give to people, right? You guys do it for birthdays, anniversaries, just for the sake of giving, because it's fun. You want to give something to somebody. I love you. Gifts can be with purpose. For example, when Wendy got up here and asked for money for Australia, that was a gift. Those of you who wrote a check, it's like, okay, here, this is a gift for the people going to Australia. Not a problem. We give offerings as well. We do that regularly. Kenny, how many times have you offered to help people move? Couple hundred, if not more. Offerings is something you put out there. There have been people, I'm sure, in your life that they've come to you and said, you know, money's tight this week. I don't know how I'm going to make it. And you make an offering. You say, if you need it, if you're not going to make it, I've got this for you. It's a backstop. But you're offering that to them. You're offering to give something to them. It could be an offering of service. Well, if you need help moving, I will be available. What you're doing is you're making something available to be redeemed. Okay? You're saying, this is what I'm willing to put out there, and that person that you're putting it out to can redeem that and say, yes, I need that. Or, you know what? I don't need that this week. I was able to make it. It's okay. But you still made the offering. This church is awesome at both of those things. Now, we get to tithing. Tithing is something that's, for the Old Testament, for sure, God called the Israelites to tithing. In Leviticus 27, verse 30, let's see. All tithes from the land, whether the seed from the ground or the fruit from the tree, are the Lord's. They are holy to the Lord. If persons wish to redeem their tithes, any of their tithes, they must add one-fifth to them. And the Lord goes on. Okay? So, a tenth of what they had was supposed to go to the Lord. Also, in Numbers, Numbers 18, verse 26, you shall speak to the Levites, saying, when you receive the Israelites, or the tithes from the Israelites that I have given to you from them, given you from them for your portion, you shall set apart an offering from it to the Lord, a tithe of the tithe. So he's speaking to the priests and saying, okay, they're giving you 10%. I want you to give 10%. That 10% actually went to Aaron. Okay? So even the priests were supposed to tithe what they got. Now, the Israelites had to do this. They had to give this to the priests. That was a commandment from the Lord. And all that was devoted to the Lord. When times were tough, sometimes they didn't give the full 10%. Anybody here ever been in that situation? Actually, that is a rhetorical question. Do not raise your hands. Please do not raise your hands. That is a rhetorical question. But I'm sure, I can pretty much be sure, that all of you have been in that position at one time or another. And that position is not fun. You're not making it, you're not doing real well, and all of a sudden the Lord says, hey, you're supposed to give me something here. And you're going, but Lord, I can't make my bills.
That's not funny. I'm going to spend this money however I choose to do it. And don't take into consideration what the Lord would have us do with that. Now, I understand that a lot of you are in very difficult financial positions. That happens. Some of it is by accident. Some of it is by poor spending, poor spending habits. So I would ask you to look at your finances. Why are you struggling to give the Lord 10%? Because some of those things that you have, or some of those things that you spend your money on, are not truly necessities. They're not clothing, they're not shelter, they're not food. Okay? They are niceties, things that make life comfortable, make life nice. But we have a tendency to view those as, I have to have my Starbucks. Okay? I am not downplaying Starbucks, I like coffee too. As a matter of fact, I love coffee. But we have a tendency to roll that into, this is something I need, this is how I sustain my life. This is a necessity of life. It is not. They are niceties of life. And the debts that you've incurred, what have those debts been for? Have they been for necessities or have they been for niceties? And if they are for niceties, you have put yourself into that position. And so when you do that, you need to take that into consideration. You guys having fun yet? I know. Like I said earlier, for some people this will be joyous, and other people this will be difficult. Speaking of debt, how many people here, this again is not a rhetorical question, how many people here have gone into debt for higher education? And I am one of those people right here. Okay? So some of you guys have gone into debt for higher education. We have spent money to go be taught. What are we really spending that money on to go to school? It's not just getting a degree. Huh? To get more money. Exactly. I want to go learn stuff, but go ahead. To obtain a position. Now, how do we do that? How do you obtain that position? How do you make more money? Because you go to school and you learn. You learn from somebody who has studied a subject for a long time, right? They have become an expert. Adam covered this, what was it, 2 weeks ago? They have studied a subject. They have become a subject matter expert. They are willing to go into a position of teaching so that they can pass that knowledge on to somebody else. If you are in that position,
in that school, ideally you're there to learn, right? It's not just to get a piece of paper so that you can make more money, but it's so that you can learn, so that you can be in that position, so that you can make the better money, or to become proficient in a field, specific field. If you're getting certificates, plumbing certificates, electrical certificates, whatever it may be. So you're going to somebody and having them teach you. I went to Vanguard. I went for 2 years. The debt that I incurred, while not considerable compared to people that are going to SC, mine would have been about a quarter at SC. But I incurred just under $20,000 worth of debt. Okay? That's for 2 years. That's a lot of money. But I wanted to learn, and I took that knowledge and put it into practice out where I'm working now. So I was willing to go in debt to learn that. Now, I find it ironic, and I also kind of find it kind of sad, to be honest, that people are willing to spend $10, $20, $30, $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 to go to school. They won't even think twice about it. Yep, I'll sign on there. FAFSA loan, Pell Grant, personal loan. And all of a sudden, they're six figures in debt so that they can go learn something and get a degree. Yet the church, quite often, people will show up at church and take the knowledge that they learn here and go, I'm going to let somebody else pay for it. They can pay. They've got money. I'm struggling. And they realize the people that preach, not just in this church, at other churches as well, the people that are the pastors, the preachers, the priests, they have spent their lives studying something so that they can pass that knowledge on. Okay? They have gone in debt, some of them to extremes, so that they could become better pastors, so they become better preachers, priests, whoever it may be. They have done all of that so that you don't have to, so that they can come up here and guide and teach and pass that knowledge on so that you can go out and proclaim that to other people. You are more equipped. So the sad part of that is, again, that people would show up and go, somebody else can pay for that. I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to reap the benefit of somebody who's gone and got their doctorate or their master's or multiple of either. And I'll go away fat and happy in that respect. So we've touched on both metaphors of being a subject of a king as well as being a student and how tithing potentially can tie to both of those. Now, I'm going to read something here. This is from 2 Corinthians, if I can find it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each of you must give as you have made up your minds, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. There's nothing there about tithing. Okay? Am I going to say that you have to give 10%? No. But I am going to highly suggest that that's a great place to start. Now, the reason I say this is because I know the Lord has met me in this. Okay? Couple things here. One, has anybody here ever seen or heard about retirement funds and saving for the future? Okay. I've been involved in a couple different industries, both when I was young and now. And the people who are in charge of the retirement programs will have little seminars and luncheon-type seminar-type things where you go and you find out about their retirement plans. And all of the ones I've heard, and I've been to multiples even though it's only been in two industries, every time they talk, what they talk about is starting early, okay? You start when you first start with the company or you're first eligible with the company, putting away into your 401k or into your retirement plan. Now, a couple reasons for that. One is compound interest. I'm not going to go into that because it's a very boring concept for most people. Diana loves it. I enjoy it as well. Jeremy, maybe. But most people don't care for the ideas of compound interest and charts. But the second part of that is that it creates habit. It forms a habit in the person that wants to eventually retire. Okay? So, I start with the company. I'm making $500 a week. I'm going to put in 2%. Okay? So I start putting in 2%. Maybe a year later, I'm making $600 a week. Now I'm going to start putting in 2%, but that 2% is more than it was last year because I'm making more. And as you continue through the years and through time, your contribution increases. But the percentage may stay the same, Maybe not. Maybe you'll increase it, decrease it, whatever. But you get in the habit of doing this and giving it. Okay? It changes your mindset. Now, this is the challenge to you as a congregation. The next 3 months, August, September, and October. Find your percentage. Again, I'm not going to say it has to be 10%, but I would suggest that's a great place to start. 10% of gross, okay? Biweekly, weekly, monthly, whatever, however you get paid. Set it aside and give it to the Lord. Now, the reason I say this for 3 months is that it creates a habit. I can almost guarantee, because I've never seen it fail yet, I know there's always the exception, but it will change your perspective. If you look at it and go, okay, I made $1,000, I'm gonna use a round turn, $1,000 this week, 10% goes to the Lord. Okay, I got $900 this week. From that $900, I need to pay my taxes. That leaves me $725. Okay, that $725, now I have that $725 to pay all my other bills and to have my niceties. Some of those niceties will go away. I can guarantee it. It will happen, unless you're just really making bank. But I will guarantee, or virtually guarantee, that it will change your perspective. It will change inside of here, which changes this right here. That creates a cheerful giver quite often. It will be difficult initially. I will not kid you. It is difficult. But it will change you. It will change your outlook. This is not a plea for money. This is a plea for a change in who you are in relationship to the Lord. Now, I say this because I've experienced this, okay? It took me decades to figure this out. Literally decades. I've been a Christian for going on close to 40 years now. It took me 35 to figure this out. The way I figured it out was I was at Vanguard. One of the professors over there, he decided to do a little Bible study or devotional before class, every class. And one of his devotionals was on tithing. And he told his story. His story was extreme, far more extreme than I've ever experienced, shall we say, in lack of money, lack of goods, lack of ability to do things, lack of opportunity. Plus, he had a wife and then kids. And how he approached tithing, how he started to tithe, and the Lord met his needs. And he continued to tithe, and the Lord met his needs. He decided to up his tithes. The Lord met his needs. Continue to up his tithes. The Lord met his needs. It changed who he was. It wasn't about the money. It was about his attitude towards the money, his attitude towards the Lord, his attitude in giving of himself. I decided to put it to the test. I did it. Okay, Lord. And it was very difficult because at the time I had two part-time jobs. I did not have a full-time job. I was going to school. So I'm making very little money for an entire month. I decided to start doing that. Lord kept meeting my needs. Okay, let's do it again and again and again. And the Lord kept meeting my needs. And over time, it changed who I was. It changed my outlook towards it. It's like, oh, okay, that's the Lord's. This is mine, mine. I'm going to give the government that part because they're going to take it anyway. Okay, this is what I've got to spend. Okay, and it changes how I view necessities, how I view niceties. Now, that worked in me. I've seen it work in other people. I've heard the same story from a number of people. They said, once I became dedicated to giving to the Lord and I was not erratic with it, it changed their person. And they're like, oddly enough, all my needs just kept getting met. I don't understand it. I'm making less money, or I have less money to use, and yet everything is working out. I don't get it. That is the joy of the Lord. That is Him changing, going, oh, we can peek this, we can tweak this, we can change how this operates if you're willing and if you're consistent, if you do this regularly. And it is a discipline. I had mentioned this at the beginning. This is a discipline. It is something that you have to work at and you have to be conscious and conscientious of. But it is something I have seen work. And again, it took me decades to figure this out and understand, but I can testify to that now. So, like I said at the beginning, so this is going to be joyful for some of you, and some of you have probably been sitting there going, internal debate, rationalization. Continue struggling with that. Let the Lord speak to you. But if the Lord says, do it, don't shut Him out. Don't shut Him out. That will be hardening your heart, guaranteed. Let's pray. Lord, we offer ourselves up to You. You've heard that from all of us hundreds of times, if not more. We do offer ourselves up to You. We offer our being, our minds, our time, and yes, our money. Lord, we ask that You would take that and change our hearts, change our attitudes towards it, change our attitudes towards You, change our hearts towards You. Lord, we ask that You would take these things and do with them as You see fit, because You are God and You are a good God. We thank You for that. We lift these things up in Your Son's name. Amen. All right, go ahead and stand. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you. May the Lord grant you the needs that you truly have and give you abundance according to His will. May He give you the insight and discipline that you need in your life and the joyful heart that follows. Go in grace.